Good morning. First, just want to thank the elders for this opportunity, and we also want to let our visitors know that you are honored guests. We are very thankful that you're here with us today. The fact that you're here with us today, that's an encouragement to us. This group of this congregation, we are very thankful when people decide from the community to come and be with us and learn a little bit more about God. Or if you're traveling, you've purposed time out to make sure that you give God the glory and honor Him and worship Him as He deserves to be honored. If you are a visitor, hopefully you were handed a visitor's card, or there is probably a visitor's card in the pew in front of you. We would love to have a record of your attendance today. We would also love the opportunity to be able to reach out to you and thank you for being here. And there'll be an opportunity later on to place that in a basket as it is passed. For those of our congregation, it's always good to see you. I love my brothers and sisters in Christ. And it is our goal today to strive to become better Christians, to better ourselves, to get closer to God, and find out the requirements from the Bible on how we can become a better prayer. And one of the things that stemmed this is the fact that the elders, we had a lot of new Christians that were coming, or new converts that were coming to the church, and what they decided to do is they came up with a class for our new converts, and part of that class was teaching prayer. And Austin, Chad, and I, we split the class up, and I was honored to be able to pick that piece. And one of the reasons why I picked it is because it's something that I believe that I need to improve upon. And always when you teach something, you always learn more, I believe, than where you were before. And one of the things that I want to make sure that we realize that the avenue of prayer is such a blessing. It's something that I believe that is misunderstood, it's misused, it's misrepresented, as well as I believe it's ignored by a lot of people who claim to be Christians, which is really sad. And another thing that we need to realize is the avenue of prayer is something that is required of us. It's required of us to be saved. If we don't pray to God, there's certain things that we don't get in return. Cleansing of our sins, repentance, different things like that we're going to talk about that we can't do if we don't pray to God, because they're a requirement. We're going to touch on some scriptures that talk about that. Another thing that we need to realize that prayer is not just something that we do. It's something that has requirements around it, and there are times that it is required. So our goal, like I said, is to be able to pray and pray well, and also recognize that we have struggles. So one of the things that is important is, you know, recognizing that we have gaps. A lot of Christians out there realize that they have a gap in their prayer life, and that's a good thing, but a lot of people don't recognize the fact that they have gaps in their life. And the key to that is we need to recognize it. So as we go through this today, there's a couple things that we want to do. We want to recognize that we have a problem, if we do truly have one. We also want to know that we're not alone in that problem. You know, there's comfort in knowing that there's other people going through that and that we need to work through it, as well as we need to learn that there's a foundation for prayer, and that's something that we need to realize, that it's something that we need to strive to learn so that way our prayer life can be pleasing to God. And also, we need to strive to get closer to God and be more sincere in our prayer life. Not getting too deep into it, but some of the things that people struggle with and we need to recognize maybe in ourselves is people don't recognize the requirement nor the requirements of prayer. They don't pray as often as they should. They have a habit of just saying the same thing over and over and over, and it's talked about in the Bible about vain repetition, and we need to make sure that we don't go down that path. Another thing is not understanding the power that has been given to us in prayer for ourselves and in our lives, as well as for those who we might be praying for. So our goal is to hopefully power through some of those topics today. So why do we pray? You know, first and foremost, we're admonished to pray. You know, in the Bible, in 1 Thessalonians, it tells us that we are to pray without ceasing. In 1 Timothy, it also tells us that first of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers and petitions and thanksgiving be made on behalf of all men. Also in 1 Timothy, it says, I want the men in every place to pray. In James 5 and verse 16, it says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So it is obvious that in the Bible, it tells us as Christians that we are to pray. We're to pray without ceasing. We're to pray for the blessings of all mankind. There's parts where it tells us that we need to pray for our enemies, even the people that do us wrong. And also, it tells us if we want our prayers to work, that we need to be effectual and fervent in our prayers. So these are all things that we need to consider. But, above and beyond being commanded to pray, why should we truly pray? God is our God. God is our Father. God is our Creator. God is our Sustainer. God is the giver of all good blessings, and we are all truly blessed. God is preparing a home eternal for us once this life is over. God gave His Son for us so in that way we could be cleansed of our sins and we can have an avenue of prayer to God. And God wants us to pray. The Creator of all the earth, all the universe, wants us to talk with Him. So why do we not take the time to perfect our prayer life and truly find out what God wants us to do in our prayers if it's an avenue in which He's blessed us with? So today, hopefully, we're going to choose to better ourselves for God. We're going to choose to better understand the blessing of prayer. So we got to define what prayer is, right? How can we be asked to do something if we don't understand what it is? So the old standby is the Merriam-Webster's Dictionary. The verb pray, to entreat, to implore, often used as a function word in introducing a question, request, or a plea, to make a request in a humble manner, to address God or a God with adoration, confession, to address God or a God, confession, supplication, or thanksgiving. So now we take it and turn it into a noun. We get actually into prayer, the actual doing of it. It's an address, a petition of God, or a God in word or thought. So when we look at this, it's not specific. It could be to God or it could be to a God. It could be to a person. So really, how does this help us become better prayers? It doesn't. So what we need to do is we need to make sure that we go to the Bible to find out truly what is in a prayer and how we are to pray and what God wants it, how God wants us to do it. So with that, the Bible is full of all sorts of scriptures. There's tons of points out there and scriptures that can tell us, different aspects of it. Today I've picked 28, so don't run out the back door. So I know that's a lot. But I'm grouped them into five topics, and we're going to go over them high speed, low drag, as we used to say in the police department. But the goal is to pique your interest. So today we're going to talk about the kinds of prayer. We're going to talk about the parts of prayer, the personal requirements of prayer, the general requirements of prayer, and how prayers can be refused by God and why they would be refused. So, but one of the things I want to make sure is I know that I'm going to talk about 28 points, and I'm just going to touch on them briefly and go over them at a high level, but please don't take this as any indication whatsoever that each of these points don't deserve your deeper study into them. The purpose of this is to give us a foundation. Our job as Christians is to dig in deeper. So, one of the things that I have done is I hope everyone has gotten one. This is one of the handouts that we gave out in the New Converts class that I put together. I hope this helps as a study guide for you for this lesson if you want to take notes. Also, I hope it works as a study guide for you in your personal life to be able to study deeper the scriptures of God on how we could be better Christians and better prayers. So, fasten your seatbelts. Here we go. There are several different types of prayers that can be found in the Bible. The first one that we're going to talk about is the secret type of prayer, the private prayer. This is the type of prayer that is in the closet type of prayer, as it says in the Bible. It's the private and earnest prayer that you present to God. These prayers are where you pour out your deepest cares and concerns before God. A lot of this is tied with sometimes even your posture. It is a prayer of just having a one-on-one conversation with God. This is where you share your deepest struggles, your deepest sins. It's not the type of prayer that's given up here, like Kevin just gave. It's a one-on-one with God, private, and it is digging deep into your soul and talking and having conversation with God. The second type of prayer is family prayer. The story of Cornelius is one of the ones that is referenced. It's a home that's dedicated to God. It's a family that is given in prayer, as the scripture says. It's children and spouses led in the example of prayer. Cornelius led his family, which is a great example for us as men and women in our households. It's the open expressing of the family's faith in God. It's the open expressing of the fact that this family serves God. And this is the type of prayer that really binds a family together. It's the glue of a family. When you pray for a meal, when you pray for the sick, whenever you do this as a family, what a great example this is for our children. Our children, I believe, can learn so much more from us if we have a better prayer life and we share that with our children. It's a key piece because the prayer life that we have will impact their prayer life long term because of the example that we are for them. So the family prayer is a core to us that we should make sure that we don't take for granted. The next type of prayer is the group prayer. We just had one not too long ago at Alan's house, which we'll address here in a moment. This is when everyone gets together. Everyone is agreeing on a purpose, praying as one. This can be done in the home. This can be done over food. This can be done in a hospital room. Like I said, the great example at Alan and Vera's house where we all came together and we were all of one mind and of one thought, and we all humbled ourselves and all of our voices were echoed up to God for the health of a brother or a sister in Christ, multiple sisters in Christ, actually. So this is a very powerful tool that we have in our arsenal as Christians. And there was quite a bit of us there. If we ever have the opportunity to do it again because we have the need, I encourage everyone to be a part of it. It was very moving. And not to be sensational or something, you know, make it more than it was, but it was moving to see a group of people get together and pray for a sister in Christ. And we need to make sure that we do that more. I thought it was a wonderful experience, and that's an avenue of prayer that we have as well. Public prayer. Public prayers are very important as well. These prayers are to be purposeful and seek God's will. These prayers are not to be for self-promotion, as we have read in the Bible, people standing on corners. It's not to be that, but it's to guide a group in a petition or a thought process and praising God. Very different from the personal, private type of prayer that we talked about earlier. So now that we've assessed on some different types of prayer that we have that we could pray alone, we could pray with our family, we can pray with a group, we can have a public prayer. You know, now that we see that there's different avenues, really there's no place that you can't pray, what are the key parts of prayer that are authorized by God? So let's break that down. First is adoration. Adoration is a key piece to a prayer to God. This is the outward praise and the honoring of our God. He is our great King. He is our sustainer of life. We need to give him the praise and glory that he deserves in our prayers. If your prayer is very dry and it's just like you're talking to a buddy, he's not your buddy. He is your creator and he is your judge. We need to make sure that we give him the glory that he deserves in our prayers. He also is so much higher above us. There's a position there that we need to acknowledge in our prayers. We need to humble ourselves before his throne. And that's part of adoration. Humbling ourselves and putting him on the throne where he is. He's to be honored and feared in our prayers. Once again, it's not just talking to a buddy of ours. It's not talking to someone that has no power over us. We need to make sure that we give him that adoration that is deserved in our prayers. Also, another part of prayer is confession. This is a key piece. The requirement of confessing our sins makes prayer a requirement to go to heaven. And, you know, if we don't pray to God, how can we confess our sins to him? Sin separates us from God, and that's something that we need to keep in our minds. And if we're separate from God, we have no hope of going to heaven. Key piece of that is prayer allows us to confess to God and also, which we'll talk about in a moment, ask for forgiveness. But they're two separate things. We can't just go to God and say, please forgive me my sins without confessing sins, because in 1 John chapter 1 and through 9, I took a portion out of it. It says, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of all our sins. The key piece of that scripture is, it earlier says, if we confess our sins. So how else can we confess our sins to God if we don't talk to him and pray to him? So it is a crucial piece that we need to acknowledge that when we go to God in prayer, we need to confess our sins to him. And once again, this is more of the private type prayer. This is not the when you're getting up here and having a public prayer, going through the list of your own personal sins. There's a time and a place for it, but it's a key piece of our prayer life. Next portion of prayer is supplication, or asking for something earnestly or humbly. And this is where we could go to God and we can ask for patience, strength, purity. We can ask for humility, ask for help to be slow to anger, ask for help to be quick to serve, ask or pray for the sick to be healed, ask for the leaders of our country to have the right type of heart to seek out God. These are all key pieces in the asking of God. But when we ask God, we need to realize that we're acknowledging God's power over all and have faith in his ability to provide it. And we'll talk a little bit later about that, a little bit more about having confidence in God. Next is intercession. And this is where we tie in with the confession earlier. We are to pray to God for forgiveness. We can't just confess our sins, but we also need to confess our sins and ask for forgiveness of our sins. God knows we sin. But he tells us that we need to confess them to him, as well as we need to ask for forgiveness of those sins. So intercession is a key piece, and we need to acknowledge that Christ's blood intercedes for us and cleanses us. We're not only cleansed whenever we are baptized, we're also cleansed when we ask for forgiveness and we're washed of those sins, and he forgives us of those sins. And last but not least, thanksgiving. We must express our thankfulness to God in all things. No matter how big, no matter how small it is, no matter if it was an answered prayer or an unanswered prayer, we need to thank him for his love. We need to thank him for Jesus. We need to thank him for Jesus' sacrifice. We need to thank him for the plan of salvation. We need to thank him for the church, our elders. We need to thank him for our families. Everything that is good in our lives, we need to thank him for. We need to thank him for even the most minute things that you wouldn't think of. Thank him for. Thank him for our car. Thank him for our job. Thank him for the oxygen that he gives us to breathe. By thanking him, not only are we acknowledging that he is the giver of all good blessings, we're acknowledging that we cannot live without him. And he needs to be given that due respect and thanked for it. How rude is it to have a God give us all these things and us not be thankful and tell him that we're thankful? Our kids, whenever we give them something or do something for them, if they don't say thank you, excuse me, and we wait for the thank you. Does God have to do that to us? Does God have to say, I gave you life today. I gave you a job. Or are we proactive in our thanking of God for all the things that he's blessed us with? And that's also through the avenue of prayer. So the basic parts of prayer are important and specific to the type of prayer that you're doing. As I mentioned, public prayer and private prayer are going to be very different, and where you put these in might not be in all your prayers, but these are all key pieces to prayer, and you need to make sure that you have them all in some type of prayer in your life. So, however, they can be in vain if one doesn't heed the actual personal requirements of prayer. So you can go through these and just have them as check marks, but there are actual personal requirements of us before we get into our prayer or as we are praying with God, and we can say all these things, but they can be just words in the wind if we don't adhere to some personal requirements that we need to adhere to. So, when one is praying or participating in a prayer, he or she must personally approach God with the right appropriateness. So, first and foremost, we need purity in our hearts. So, in Psalm 66, it clearly states that we cannot have wickedness in our hearts. Wickedness is translated as vanity, trouble, iniquity, mischief. So if we go to God and we have sin in our lives and we ask for forgiveness of it, he hears our prayers and he will forgive us of those things. However, if we go to God and we don't have pure intentions and we have sin and we hold that sin in and we keep it in our hearts and we choose to think that we're hiding that from God, or we have a wickedness in our thought process, we don't have purity in ourselves. And it says clearly that if we have that in ourselves, God will not hear our prayer, which we'll touch on a little bit later also. We also need to make sure that when we go to God in prayer, we go to him with all belief, praying in true faith in God and his power over all things. This doesn't mean, Lord, give me a car and poof, a car is going to appear. You know, that's not what this is talking about. What this is talking about, having faith in God's power over all and understanding that he will give on his terms. He will answer prayers in his timeline. He will decide what is good for us, and having faith in him to do what is right for us if our mindset is appropriate with God. Also, another point that we need to make sure that we have is when we go to God personally, we need to realize that we're doing it in Christ's name. We need to acknowledge that Christ is our intercessor. He died for us, personally granting us each the avenue of prayer because his blood cleanses us. If we are sinful before God, we cannot go before God. Christ's blood cleanses us so he can intercede for us. So by acknowledging Jesus' power and authority, it acknowledges the fact that we can only approach the throne of God because of Jesus' sacrifice. And last but not least, we need to do it in accordance with God's will. As we enter into prayer and as we go through our prayer, we need to make sure that God's will is foremost in our mind. God and his kingdom's best interest should always be first in all that we do. It's one of those things that I only want a job if I can better serve you, Lord. I only want this job if the move is good spiritually for my family. I want this job if it will help me become a better Christian. That's different than saying, Lord, I want this job so I can make more money. It's all about God's will. And once again, we need to accept it when God sometimes says no, because his will might be different than our will. So one of the things that we need to make sure that we always put God first in our prayer life and in all things that we do. So once we have personally got our minds right and we're prepared to pray, there are some general requirements to add on top of this. I know this is a lot of information, but these are all key pieces and these are all scriptures that we need to take into account that are associated with our relationship with God and how we talk to him. So the general requirements of prayer, there's quite a few of them as well. We need to go to God with a forgiving spirit. How can we go to God and ask for forgiveness if we don't forgive those who trespass against us? So when we enter into our prayer life, we need to make sure that we go to God with a forgiving spirit. We also need to make sure that when we go to God with all simplicity. We're not to be showy. We are to be simple and discreet. This is a conversation with God. It is not a production. God doesn't need a production from us. He wants us to communicate with him, and we're told to go to him in simplicity. We're also to go to him in humility and repentance. We're to pray with all humility and to beg for forgiveness. A great example of that is the tax collector in Luke. Also, when we come together as a group, as we just did at the beginning of the service, we need to come together in unity as believers. We are to gather together. We must be of one mind, of one body, and all have Jesus as our head and acknowledge that when we come together as a group to pray to our God. We're also told, and this is kind of a funny thing, you know, we're to pray with tenacity. And whenever you go after someone with tenacity, a lot of times that has a negative connotation, but it's very clear that God wants us to have a mindset of respectful tenacity to go to him. And one of those examples is given of a judge and this widow that just constantly came to him and just nagged at him. And finally, the judge gave in. And the story goes, you know, why, how much more would God listen to us if this judge listened to this widow? He gave his son for us, so why would we not think if we constantly go to him and ask for whatever it might be, as long as it's in accordance with his will, how much more would he be willing to listen to us as his children? So we need to realize that, you know, sometimes that prayer needs to be said for 5 years. You know, it's one of those things that we need to realize that God wants to truly see where our heart is sometimes. Also, with tenacity, another funny word is to go at him with intensity in our prayers. You know, we're told to ask, we're told to seek, we're told to knock at the door. And that could be translated to plod after, to desire and endeavor for. Once again, this is a showing of our heart to God when we go at our prayer life with a certain level of intensity, the effectual fervent, a heatness to it, prayer life. If we have that in our lives, God will see where our heart truly is. We also are to go to God with confidence in him, and we referenced this a little bit earlier. We are to pray with confidence in the fact that God can deliver. It says also in another scripture that we are to boldly pray for wisdom. There is no questioning God and his power and authority when we go to him in prayer. Why pray if you question whether or not he could do something? That makes no sense. Also, we are to go to God without many words. We're to be specific. God is not impressed with empty words repeated over and over. He's not impressed with great orations. He's not impressed with large vocabulary that some of us rednecks can't understand. God's not impressed with anything like that. God wants us to keep it simple and direct. He wants us, once again, to have a conversation with him. That's what God wants. God doesn't want a show. And then, last but not least, we're to pray without ceasing. This is living in prayer. It's a communicating with God at all times, in season and out of season. It's an acknowledgement that God is with us at all times. And one of the things that, you know, I try to make this come more to life is, imagine you're just walking all day with someone down the road. You wake up, you guys are together. You eat breakfast, you go to work together, and you're traveling down the same road all day long, kind of like Alan and I do. If Alan didn't talk to me all day, which sometimes we can't because we're so busy, it'd be offensive to me. If we're just going down this path all day long with someone and we just didn't talk to them all day long or we ignored them, how rude would that be? Jesus is with us. God is with us with every step of our day. While we're sleeping, he is with us. When we wake up in the morning, when we eat our breakfast, while we're driving to work. Yet, in many cases, we choose not to talk to him. We choose not to share with him our concerns. He is there for us in every step of our lives. And the acknowledgement of that has to translate into a prayer life that is without ceasing. If you pray only maybe for your food and maybe before you go to bed, you know, you're not really living a life in prayer. It's before I got up here, Lord, I hope you're glorifying this. I hope this goes well. You know, it's those quick moments of prayer. It doesn't have to be a long oration to God. It's actually having a relationship with him where you are able to just talk with him at any point in time in your day about the concerns that are in your life and being specific and having all these other things being a part of it. So we need to make sure that we realize that praying without ceasing is crucial, because the more we do it, the better we'll get and the more comfortable we'll get at doing it. So we've covered some major territory on prayer so far and how to be acceptable. But I think it's also equally important for us to look at what will keep our prayers from being heard. That's extremely important. First and foremost, we're going to kind of chase a jackrabbit here. If you have not been baptized, Christ cannot intercede for you. I want to get that clear from the very beginning. If you're not baptized, you have not come in contact with Christ's blood. That means that you are not clean before God. And so your prayer life is very different than what a Christian's prayer life would be. And so I want to make sure that's very clear. And when you have sin in your life, that puts a gulf between you and God. God wants you to pray to him. God wants you to turn your life over to him and be baptized. So in that way, he can have that relationship with you where you could pray to him as a child of his. But if you choose to keep that gulf there, there's a gulf. I want to make sure that's clear. But we as Christians, we need to heed some warnings that are very specific in the Bible with regards to our prayer life. First, if we come to God with sin in our hearts, as referenced earlier, it states God will not hear our prayers. Specifically, it says that. And it says this is referencing sins we choose not to repent of. So once again, we come to God with sins and we ask for forgiveness, our prayer is heard. If we keep sins internally within ourselves and we choose to keep them in our lives, God will not hear our prayers. We also cannot come to God with any selfishness. It is not tolerated by God. In James chapter 4, verse 3, it states, "You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures." God, please give me this job. God, please heal me of this sickness. There's nothing wrong for asking for those things, but why do you ask for more money, or why do you ask to be healthy? Is it to spend your money and your health on worldly pleasures, or is it to spend that money and your health in service to God and making sure that God's will be done? Very different. We also need to make sure that we have no doubt whenever we go to God. Doubt will also cause our prayers to be refused. In James 1, verse 7, it states, "The one who doubts God should not expect that he will receive anything from the Lord." Very clearly stated. There's no mincing those words whatsoever. Also, we cannot come to God with any disobedience in our lives. Disobedience, in reference to Proverbs chapter 28, verse 9, it states, "If one turns away his ear from the hearing of the law, even his prayer is an abomination. We cannot expect God to listen to us in our prayers if we choose not to listen to Him and adhere to or listen to His laws in our lives. We also can't approach God with any inhumanity in our lives or in our hearts. And in Proverbs chapter 12 and 13, it states, "Whoever closes his ear to the cry of the poor will himself call out and not be answered." So this one kind of cuts to the quick. Because of the fact that, so question for you is, does anyone here know of any brothers and sisters who are falling on tough times? And let me just say, we have an amazing congregation. I know that many people step up behind the scenes and we just don't know about it. But personal reflection, does anyone here know of a time when you've maybe known someone was falling on tough times, maybe financially or spiritually, wherever it might be, and you didn't heed the call? You held that wallet just a little bit deeper in your back pocket? Or, man, I got so many things going on, I just don't have time to go visit. I don't have time to do this. Or maybe you're down here at the gas station and someone comes up and asks you, "Hey, man, I need some food." I don't have any cash on me. You got a debit card. Go buy a hot dog. It's scary to think that these types of reactions or living a life where we choose to ignore the poor or those who are crying out will affect our personal prayer life with God. And it specifically says that. So, and last but not least, we must not approach God's throne with pride. Luke tells a story of the Pharisee and how he was full of pride and he exalted himself before God. And we see how that wasn't received well at all. So, brethren, we must assess ourselves and come to God with total repentance, total humility, total love, focusing on God's will first and foremost in all things to have our prayers be heard. Otherwise, our prayers are all vain. They're just words in the wind. And God has told us how He wants to have us pray to Him. So, my question for you is, some of you might recognize this, how's your prayer life? That's a Ken statement. Someone used to come to Ken with a problem. One of the first things he'd say to them is, "How is your prayer life?" I want you to truly assess on yourself right now. As I went through this, I realized there's some places I'm okay, and there's some places that I have some serious work. My understanding and my estimation of what prayer was is very different once you reflect it against all the scriptures that we have referenced. So my question for you is how is your prayer life? Is it what it needs to be? Are your prayers being heard? Are there things in your life that are causing your prayers to be stifled or blocked from God because of choices that you're making? And the next question that is begged, how are you going to change your prayer life? Is my hope that this form that I gave you will help you in that study? We've covered a lot of information, and it's my hope that the cause of this is to cause us to pray deeper, is to cause us to be more sincere, and also to adhere our prayer life to what God has prescribed. We can do all these things, and if our heart is not aligned with what God has told us to do, it's all for naught. So let's honor God in our prayer life. Let's make sure that we understand that the avenue of prayer is a blessing and respect that avenue of prayer. So, if you are not a Christian and you wish to have the avenue of prayer opened up to you through the contact with Jesus' blood through baptism, we have a baptismal. We'd love for you to come forward. If you are a Christian and you've lived a life that's contrary to God's will, or you have things in your life that you need help from the congregation, we'd love to pray with you and help you in any way that we can as we stand and sing.